This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast here at thatmomentin.com. I am your host, The Vern, and I've been away for way too long, and I'm very, very happy and excited to be back on the air with you folks, and I brought with me a wonderful guest. You may have heard him on the Cinema Recap podcast with John Bonham. He is our box office expert. We have with us Mr. Mark Jackson. Hello, sir.
Hey, Vern. It's been quite some time since you and I, been on a pod together. I think the last one we did was probably the best of 2018, that one right at the end of the year.
I think you're right. I know this is like the first time you've actually been on Cinema Recall, which is kind of seems, it's great that you're on here, but it seems really kind of odd that it's taken so long for you to be on my show.
Yeah, we'll have to try maybe to make it a little more of a consistent thing moving forward. But, you know, sometimes you just got to plan it right around, specials and certain, topics. And I'm very, very excited about what we're talking about today. So, we can definitely hit on logistics moving forward and see if I can be on a little more here and there in the future.
Good. Now I mentioned to listeners that you are a contributor to Cinema Recap. And you're also a contributor to thatmomentin.com, but you also have your own movie site, which is moviemanjackson.com. And maybe tell your listeners out there a little bit about what it is that you write about. I mean, I know you do movie reviews, but tell me a little bit more about your sites.
Yeah, so I've been the sole contributor to moviemanjackson.com since January 2014. So definitely been going hard for over 5 years now. I joined That Moment In right around the end of 2016. So I've been around for about two and a half years on That Moment In. And I live here in Columbus, Ohio. A member of the Columbus Film Critics Association. And definitely helps out around Oscar season for sure, getting, you know, the various type of screeners and whatnot. But yeah, you know, I try to contribute a lot of recent movies, but from time to time, you know, on That Movie, we've got a lot of movie moments and what to watch features. So I, from time to time, I'll definitely contribute towards those. I'm actually working on something that might go out either tonight or the end of tomorrow around John Wick. So be on the lookout for that.
Now, how did you get involved with the Critics Society in your town there? I mean, who would you contact? I mean, just for listeners out there who are want to be more involved with getting like press screening passes, like how did you get involved with that?
Yeah, so I used to work with a member of the Columbus Film Critics Association. I didn't know that they're actually a part of it until, you know, I started looking at the work a lot more, and I saw that they, you know, had this honor of being a part of the association. So, you know, I had been at this point, it was like July 2016, and I felt like I had a good amount of work out there to, you know, really, you know, stake my claim to being a member. It's something where if I would have tried to do it maybe after 9 months, then, you know, I don't think I necessarily would have had, you can, you know, use this word lightly, like the clout. But, you know, after doing it for a little while, I was like, yeah, I think I could definitely contribute to, this association. So I reached out to my old coworker. Then they kind of referred me to the society founder, Mark Pfeiffer. He was a local professor for one of the schools out here, Audubon University. But they asked to see my website, and basically how they do it is, you know, they send out your credentials and your website, and, you know, it's basically a committee vote of about, you know, however many people are on the association. So I think it was like 18 to 20. And, I got the approval needed. And, you know, since then, I've been a member. So it's kind of just one of those things where usually if you're kind of close to a big city or in a semi-big city, your city might have one. So it definitely wouldn't hurt you to, Google whatever keywords you want to use, see if your city has one, and then figure out, like, who the founder is, and as long as you kind of have a body of work to go off of, you might have a shot.
Well, Okay, well, thank you very much for that. That is some really good, helpful tips out there. I mean, it's kind of cool to get like movie screeners, but has there ever been like a situation where you got a screener that you didn't really want to review? Have you ever been forced to review a film you didn't want to review?
I actually haven't been forced to review a film that I didn't want to review. A lot of times it's I have the feeling sometimes that, you know, if I am getting them, obviously it's upon my duty to do my absolute best to watch them. Now, with that said, I do have a fairly consistent day-to-day job as well. But, you know, if a movie is, you know, semi-big, or if I know that it's got a huge chance of, you know, doing a lot of work maybe in the Academy Awards or the Golden Globes, then I'm going to watch it even if I maybe know, you know, right away that's probably not something I really have interest in. But if it's going to be an awards player, then I've got to watch it at least. So I don't know if that necessarily answers your question, but if I have any inclination whatsoever of that movie, you know, being in the conversation for many different awards, and if I like don't have a ton of interest, I will still force myself to watch it just because a lot of people don't get that opportunity. So you know, I definitely want to you know, be very thankful for what I have been given, even if sometimes I might not have the utmost interest in everything I do receive.
Well, you're a brave man. Brave, brave man, sir. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate being on this episode. As you could most likely tell from the description on your podcast player app, we are going to be discussing about social media and movies, and the two movies that we chose were Assassination Nation and Ingrid Goes West. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to play just some quick ad spots from other great podcasts that you should definitely check out. So we'll be back to discuss about one of these features, all right? Stay tuned.
We'll return after these messages.
Hi, I'm Nick from the Nick and Vince Podcast. I want to let you know about a new podcast I'm launching next month. It's called the St. Paul Filmcast, where each week, me and my co-host Dan will pick one classical film to review. We'll be discussing new films, modern films, new releases, and other aspects film-related. You'll find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. You can already find our podcast on Twitter at St. Paul Filmcast and Instagram. I hope you give us a listen. Thank you very much.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
That's correct, Brendan. On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
Good job, Brendan.
Thank you, JD. It's my goal to make you proud. You're the father, after all.
Yes, and I'm very proud. You can listen to the In Session Film Podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com.
Brendan, will you please let me complete just one?
Nope.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Listen to the In Session Film Podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Hey, go cry at Midnight Special again, okay? That's what you're good for.
I will. You know what? And I'll do it while pummeling you. I'll do both at the same time.
How are you going to pummel me? Yeah, I don't buy it. That's just how it works.
And we are back, episode here of Cinema Recall, and the movie that me and Mark are going to tackle first is Ingrid Goes West.
Wait. A couple of ground rules, okay?
Okay.
I need you to tell everyone that you're my boyfriend. It's a long story, but I just need you to
No, I get it. And I see that you dig me, I dig you, I'll be your boyfriend.
Okay. I'll be your boyfriend.
Okay, whatever. And also, no Batman talk.
What am I supposed to talk about? I don't know these people.
Something cool, like food or clothes or Joan Didion.
Okay.
Talk about comic books or anything, because these people don't care about stuff like that.
Anything else you might just
Yes, whatever you do, just stay away from Nikki.
Who's Nikki?
Nikki is Taylor's brother, and he's a liar and a drug addict, and he's just not to be trusted, okay?
Oh, God! What's up?
Hey!
Who's that?
This is Dan Pinto, my imaginary boyfriend.
Dan Pinto?
Yeah.
My sister says you're obsessed with Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, get the fuck out! Olga, why didn't you tell me? I fucking love Batman! Nikki, great to meet ya. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na! Harley! All right.
You just heard a scene from the new comedy, Ingrid Goes West. Now this movie stars Aubrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen and O'Shea Jackson Jr. And it concerns a woman played by Aubrey Plaza. She's Ingrid, and she's very much obsessed with social media to the point where she finds someone online that she likes, and she'll go to extreme lengths to become her friend and make sure that she eats the same type of food as hers. And in this movie, she discovers Elizabeth Olsen's character. She plays a woman known as Taylor Sloan, I think what it is. And she likes whatever posts on Instagram and makes a funny comment. And Taylor comments back. And so Ingrid thinks that this woman is her new best friend. And earlier in the film, we have seen that Ingrid has been become obsessed with this other girl to the point where in the beginning of the movie, she didn't get invited to a wedding. And so when she arrives, she insults the girl and, you know, sprays her in the face with mace. And she's been put into this, mental institution for like a long time. But now she's got this new person and she's totally obsessed with her. Mark, let's just kind of get your general thoughts about Ingrid Goes West.
Absolutely. So this movie came out around August of 2017. I remember going in this movie. I honestly didn't know that it was actually a thing until at the time. It's a kind of interesting story. But at the time, I had an Instagram. And, you know, I follow O'Shea Jackson Jr. And he had a little post about this movie is coming out. I was like, wow, this looks interesting. I didn't see any trailers. I looked to see if it was playing near my recent or my closest theater. And lo and behold, I saw it did. I went to see it on that Friday. And I thought it was a pretty well-made, kind of awesome movie. I wrote about it on thatmomentin.com. You can find it by doing a search. But yeah, you know, I went in, I watched it once, and I knew I really, really liked it. I had not rewatched it since until about a week and a half ago in preparation for this pod, whenever we're going to do it. And I, you know what? I actually think it's one of the better movies of the decade. You know, I think it nails a lot of small things about sort of the ups and downs of social media. And I would say it takes a lot more of a pessimistic view of social media than it does like a optimistic view. Would you kind of agree with that too?
I would agree to a point that it does take a pessimistic view, not so much for the people who are kind of obsessed with these, I guess what we call it, self-made celebrities, people that have like
influencers,
all these,
that's what they call them.
As with the Corey Thursday, I'm so new to this whole thing about social media influencers. I do remember there was a documentary on like Netflix all about this, this whole thing about social media influencers. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have.
But it has to deal with people like, who's that one girl who's been really big? Paris Hilton.
Okay.
Does with hers. Yeah. American Meme.
Oh, okay.
Is what that documentary talks about. Yeah, I mean, the fact that it kind of shows Aubrey Plaza's character as a person that it could very well be like anyone else that just wants to have like a friend, because this is a woman who is really afraid to be herself.
Yeah.
She wants to have the most coolest clothes and the best friends, and she wants to be trending. She wants to be the most hippest person in the world, and she doesn't even really like a lot of the things that are trending. There's that great sequence when she goes into a restaurant that Taylor Sloan mentions on her Instagram page and says that this is the best food ever, and she orders the same exact food that she ordered, has one bite of it, and Ingrid just spits it out. And I love the next scene. She's like having like McDonald's next to her eating that stuff because that's what she loves. And they just, the character of Taylor Sloan is in a way just being as fake as Ingrid. Like, Ingrid looks up to Taylor Sloan, but Taylor Sloan is still is about as fake as she gets. I mean, there's that great sequence when she's talking, I guess Ingrid's talking with Wyatt Russell's character, saying that Taylor was not this hip person. She was this shy, introverted girl. And I think that to be kind of fascinating. Also kind of find it fascinating, too, that the only person that actually can see Ingrid for being who, her for who she is a little bit is O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s character of Dom Pinto. And I love the fact that he deets out about Batman, and not just any Batman, it's a Joel Schumacher Batman.
Sure. Yeah, you know? That's a funny bit.
Yeah. But, I mean, just the fact that you have a character like Ingrid who's very socially inept, she's probably a person whose mother tried to instill her this value of beauty, and so she felt it's the only way she can have friends is if she likes the same things that everybody else likes. So that's what I kind of got from that characters.
Yeah, I mean, I carry a lot of the same, I guess, you know, parallels or same kind of things you read into too with a lot of the characters. I guess, you know, I kind of just like the basics the movie nails. I think it was directed by Matt Spicer, and it was his debut movie. But, you know, just like scrolling through the feed and liking every single post. I mean, we see her do that a couple times, and she's not even giving any thought to it. It's just very, very mindless. But, you know, that kind of comes up a lot in the movie. Or another thing that's kind of cool, you know, they use this internal voice tagged to Taylor Sloan, Elizabeth Olsen's character, you know, like, hashtag reach for the stars, right? It's very, very cringy stuff that, you know, it is supposed to be very kind of self-serving, you know, look at me, you know, I'm doing everything right, and, you know, my life is so sunny, so peachy, so bright, or getting that right angle for that perfect photo. There's that super hilarious moment in the movie where they're going out, I think, to Joshua Tree or, you know, some other place maybe in the West, Wyoming. And their car breaks down, but, you know, Taylor thinks it's an amazing time to capture a photo after getting it fixed. And then they, you know, get the mechanic to take the photo, and they're like, can you bend down a little bit? Can you get on your belly? Can you get it at this 45-degree angle? It's that little stuff, you know, because all of us know people in real life who, you know, will do anything to curate that perfect photo or that perfect moment. And, you know, there's a huge argument for if you're doing all of this, are you really capturing the moment as it is, or are you just trying to show the moment as how you want to be perceived? And I think it's a lot of times it is the latter.
Yeah, I kind of agree to the most part that it's always the latter, and I get really irritated when people just post images all the time, like their whole day is basically advertised for me, and I'm like, I don't really want to see that. All right, it's one thing if you're on vacation and you take, like, you know, like a couple photos, like here's me and my friends, or here's me and my girlfriend at the beach, all right, but I'm not gonna take every single thing about what we ate, all right, or, you know, how she goes to the bathroom or things like that. I'm not gonna be interested in seeing that, because no one else would be interested in seeing that at all. You know, you did bring up and I'm just kind of losing my train of thought here, but one thing that I liked about this feature, what Matt Spicer did, is that this could have easily been like a horror feature, like a horror thriller feature, because even though Ingrid is emotionally unstable, you still have to be, you know, involved with this character throughout this movie. So she can't be someone you completely are taken back by. You're a little wary of her actions, especially at the beginning when she goes and breaks into a home and kidnaps Taylor's dog.
Yeah.
And holds him. You know that what she's doing is wrong, but yet at the same time, you don't really hate her for her actions. All right? It's just when the movie becomes more and more deeper, and it becomes more dark, and you realize the, you know, the, I guess you'd call it here, like the, what's the word I'm looking for here, like this, the lengths she goes, to getting what she wants there, that's when things become a little bit more disturbing. It's really hard for me to get involved with that character, and I'll get into that more when it comes to like my favorite moments. But do you have like a favorite moment?
Do I have a favorite moment? I have quite a few in this movie. Actually, the more I think about it, I think it's kind of one of my favorite movies of the decade. And okay, you know, I'm jumping forward just a little bit, but this is actually kind of one of the movies that made me, you know, rethink how I use social media. And I've never been much of a heavy user anyway. The only thing I really have now is a Twitter. But you know, me not being a heavy user and watching this movie, it kind of did just, you know, force me to like, do I really need this? I'm already kind of cynical as it is in real life, and I don't really like taking a lot of pictures. I very much kind of value my privacy, and I don't really like, you know, everyone kind of selling me on things that probably don't happen the way they are. So this is one of the movies that kind of really, I'd say, ultimately prompted me to delete, you know, my Instagram and my Facebook, you know, December of last year. But that we can come back to that. But I would say favorite moment, probably when we really start to see the Ingrid's ruse, you know, start to, you know, spiral downward. Maybe just slightly before that, though, it's when we are kind of getting deep into spoilers here, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Every single episode of Cinema Recall, in fact, I should just put a disclaimer on the front of each show. There's going to be spoilers, all right?
Okay.
There's going to be, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, you know, Ingrid, we've kind of been shown about half the movie that she can be pretty manipulative. You know, Dan is probably one of the most, you know, authentically real people in the movie. Everyone else is kind of different shades of fake or like very, very fake. But
yeah,
he is like most true to himself.
Well, he's the only true person in this movie.
Yeah, I would say so.
Or even like Wyatt Jackson's character or Wyatt Russell's
character. Yeah, and even then, like, he's got some things that maybe on like second viewing stood out to me more than first. But
sure,
I'd say overall, yeah, you know, O'Shea Jackson's character, Dan Pinto, he's the most real person in the movie. But, you know, immediately when Ingrid moves out, you know, he takes a liking to her. He's obviously very attracted to her. And one of the few moments, it's a very brief moment that stood out to me, was, you know, everything's so instantaneous nowadays. You know, Ingrid's always on her phone. You know, once you get someone's number, you can kind of sync it to a lot of these apps. You can figure out what type of media they do have. You know, he follows her immediately, and, you know, she gets excited, but not because he's following her, because he got excited because she thought, you know, some other stimuli was going to happen, but she just saw, oh, he's following me. I always kind of like that moment just a little bit, or when they show him making a comment on one of her photos, and she just, like, kind of, you're like, ugh, you know. You think that any gratification is kind of good gratification, but the movie shows that, you know, she only wants the gratification of what she desires, which is, you know, being in with Taylor Sloan and that whole crowd. Those are just very small moments, but I'm ultimately getting to that real moment I really like. So, you know, Ingrid is very manipulative. Everyone kind of starts to doubt her story about having a boyfriend. She really doesn't have a boyfriend, but she knows that Dan really, really likes her. So she uses that to her advantage, because Taylor's hosting this party and everyone finally wants to see her boyfriend, you know, in real, in the flesh. So she brings Dan along to pose as a boyfriend, but, you know, she gives him very clear guidelines as to what he can and can't say. Like, for example, he can't bring up Batman.
Yes.
So, you know, he's like, what are you doing? You know, this is me. You know, why are you trying to tamper me down? She dresses him in this particular way, and, you know, you can tell it's just not him. But once, you know, Nikki, that's Taylor's, you know, brother, kind of eccentric, kind of oddball, awkward brother, whatever you want to call it, you know, they hit it off really, really quick, and you can just tell Ingrid's like, what the hell is going on? But there's that, you know, whole entire moment, which is kind of like a microcosm, you know, of the movie. You know, Ingrid's doing her best to, I guess, be, you know, this person that she thinks she is, but obviously she's not that. But she thinks she's doing the best she can by, you know, tampering other people's, you know, real life personas down, and, you know, everything just kind of comes to backfire. And then from that moment, you know, a couple minutes later, we really start to, you know, see the downfall of her, you know, when Nikki grabs a phone, and he already knows, he's been knowing something's just a little off about Ingrid, but he's able to grab her phone, figure out her passcodes, and then, you know, kind of start getting into just how deep does the wormhole go with her and his sister? And then from there, you know, I would say that's the moment where it really starts getting into full on, you know, black comedy, even horror. I mean, I guess it's already been black comedy, but it really starts to get kind of, you know, horrific and kind of, you know, depressing in ways too. Very disturbing, some of those scenes. So that's kind of the pivot moment for me in that movie.
Oh, definitely. And even afterwards, like, so there's spoilers there. So even after Ingrid and Dan, they try to kidnap Nikki.
Right.
And then later on, Tara Sloan finds out about it. And there's that moment when she keeps trying to call their house.
Yeah, that was so cringy. So
it was. And then Tiller's husband, Ezra, as we said, was played by Wyatt Russell. He keeps telling her, look, go away. All right. The only reason why you're not in jail is because of Nikki blackmailing you.
Yep.
You need to leave us alone. And she keeps messaging back and forth. She keeps calling. She even decides to spend the rest. So we didn't say this earlier, but the only reason why Indra is able to go out to California to visit Taylor is because her mom has left her $60,000 in her will. All right. So that's the only reason why she's able to afford this. And she's even able to buy a house that Taylor Sloan has talked about wanting to buy just so that she could be closer. And just her downfall of her having to choose between, like, toilet paper and beer.
Yeah.
At a local mart there, it was just like, oh, my gosh. And I was at that moment there, I'm like, wow, she could go either way. Like, this film was starting to be, like, a really kind of lighthearted comedy. But this is the moment where she could just start going really crazy. And it could have been a horror film. I mean, I was reminded of, like, films such as Single White Female, where another woman has, like, an obsession with another one. And I'm thinking that this could go into that territory. She could easily, you know, knock off Taylor's husband just as easily as she tried to knock off her brother.
Yep.
And there is actually really kind of moments near the end of this, which I just could spoil right now, but I don't really want to spoil that part, is at the very end. But there's a great moment where she actually does open up to her Instagram followers and to let people see the real her, and it's really kind of heartbreaking, but yet I don't, and then at the next scene, I don't think she learns anything.
Yeah, that's the one issue I kind of have with the movie. The last 10 minutes, I wish they would have maybe, you know, committed a little harder to what they were suggesting. And again, we spoiled a whole bunch, but I really don't want to spoil the exact ending of the movie.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I don't think she learns anything from her actions, and I feel like it's just trying to continue on.
And I guess, you know, I kind of brought this point up somewhere else when I wrote my piece 2 years ago, but you know, I kind of wish, if anyone's ever seen the movie Unfriended, that I think it was 2016, 2017, you know, everything starts happening on a Skype, you know, scene. I kind of wish those two movies would have flip-flop endings, and kind of getting a little more specific than I wanted to be. But I definitely feel like it would have been a very, very strong ending if they would have committed one way and then show, like, oh, you know, she finally got what she was after. You know, it just was ironic that it had to happen that way. But that's the only really thing where, you know, even after watching it the second time, I still don't feel it's the strongest ending they could have went with, especially after seeing, you know, just how, you know, she's treated one of the other characters, and the other character kind of brushes it off. And it's like, did you learn anything either about this person? You know, she's obviously not what you need, you know, out of someone else. So yeah, watching again, that's the only real thing where I still think it's kind of like an iffy sort of weak ending. I would like them to commit another route.
Yeah, because when O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s character shows up to visit her again, Ingrid, I actually thought that those two were going to have, like, a friendship, actually a real friendship, not a fake relationship, and she would have immediately have given up social media, like, she would have her phone, but decided to, like, put it down and actually talk to him as a person, maybe learn from that aspect, like, you don't need to have friends online, like, you're real friends in front of you, like, here's, like, a real friend in front of you you know, who's there for you, the people online are not going to be your real friends at all.
Yeah.
And I think that the ending of it just kind of like discourages that.
And I guess we did kind of, spoil it more or less. But I guess, and maybe that's the point that, you know, the director's trying to make. You know, we can make this grand, this grand point, this grand suggestion. But you know, maybe in this day and age, in this technological day and age, we really don't learn anything. You know, as long as we get the validation that we were kind of seeking, then you know, that's the stimuli. We go right back to, you know, the loophole that, you know, we maybe could have got out of. Because I mean, that's the scene that the movie ends on. You know, her face. It's like, you know, everyone's saying, you know, oh wow, I we're totally this person. You know, I get Ingrid. I get where she's coming from. You know, I think the hashtag I am Ingrid is used, and then, you know, we can tell she's taken all this in, and then it kind of just ends on that, on her facade. And I guess, and I still don't really like the ending a whole bunch, but I guess that's the point being made, that, you know, maybe we don't change really that much in this technological day and age. You know, everything is designed for us to, you know, take our attention off of what really is important or what really is in front of us.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Well, I'm going to get into my favorite moment of this movie, and this is the moment where you really start to see Ingrid's obsession with Taylor Sloan. And it has to do with their car ride, and they're listening to, I think it is Jodeci's All My Life.
Yep.
And so the song comes on, and Taylor's singing it, like, very ironically. She's just thinking that this is a song from her past, and she's kind of grooving along to it, not taking it seriously. And she's singing to Ingrid, and Ingrid is singing back, but it's the expressions on their faces. Like, Taylor is all about having fun, but Ingrid is actually really believing in the song's lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
About, like, all my life, I waited for someone like you, and the intensity in Aubrey Plaza's face, and she has, like, this look of, like, love and devotion, and you can see, like, tears start to well up in her eyes when she's singing the song. It's both really hilarious just because of the juxtaposition of those two characters and how they have different meanings to this song from the 90s, which I thought was really good. The only thing I wish only thing I wished would happen during the scene is that it was set during the daytime.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I can see those eyes a little bit more, because it's hard to tell right off bat. You think that this is a scene about two girls having fun with the song, but it's their expressions, their different expressions, is what I love the most. And her intensity is like, Ingrid's intentions, like, don't you dare leave me like the last lady does, or otherwise I will fucking kill you. All
right. Right.
Just that, as that edge of just being very suspenseful and comical at the same time too, which is really kind of I give another shout credit to Matt Spicer for that sequence. But that was one of my favorite moments of that movie.
And there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of them. I think, you know, overall for me, it's just how just the little things are nailed. I already talked about, you know, the unconscious scrolling. You know, I feel like a lot of us, you know we've experienced an Ingrid before, you know, in our lives, whether male or female, or maybe, you know, maybe we might not want to admit it, but some of us might be Ingrid itself. Like, you know, we just can't put down our phones, and we just so, you know, immersed in this digitized age, we care about, you know, who is liking what, you know, we post, or, you know, who likes another person's post, why aren't they liking my post, you know, all that stuff. I just think, like, the small things are really, really nailed, you know, in this movie, and he does it in a pretty brief runtime. I think it's only, like, 97 minutes, but, you know, it goes from, you know, hilarious black comedy to, you know, to satire. You know, it's got drama, romance, and, you know, and horror, too, especially near, you know, the last 20, 30 minutes, but, yeah, I really, really like the movie, you know, save for, like, the last 10 minutes, that ending. I think it's a really, really strong movie. I think it's Aubrey Plaza's best acting work. I think it was O'Shea Jackson Jr.'s second acting role right after, like, Straight Outta Compton.
It was, yeah.
I want to see him get, you know, more and more stuff. I think he's super talented, you know, a lot more range than his father, who is, you know, a pretty good, you know, actor for being a rapper. But I think, you know, he can make this a career. I think he's got amazing range. He can be dramatic. He can be an action star. He's very funny in Long Shot, which just came out recently. I have talked about that on thatmomentin.com. You know, he can do a lot. So I think this was also a movie where I was like, wow, this is a complete pivot from what he just did in Straight Outta Compton. He's got a lot of range. So highly recommended. And, yeah, I would say it's probably one of my favorite, you know, movies of the decade for sure.
I would have to agree with all your sentiments right there. I just watched it just last night, and it still hold up very well from when I first saw it in theaters. I think it has like wonderful performances from not only O.J. Jackson Jr., like we mentioned, but also Elizabeth Olsen and Wyatt Russell. And I do believe that this is one of the best roles that Aubrey Plaza has done. And yes, when it comes to social media, I do have a Twitter account. Cinema Recall does have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
We have Facebook. We have Instagram. I try my best not to post that often. I will try to make a post at least once a day. But then you get a lot of people kind of like liking your stuff and making comments on Twitter. Like, you know, I don't want to be rude, so I'll message them back. But then you get kind of curious about what are people responding back with and what are they saying about your sites. And I'm very honored and thankful that people take Cinema Recall and other posts and share articles. And yeah, it's kind of a cool thing. And, you know, I'm very thankful for it, but I don't want to have it be like my all in be all.
Yeah. And honestly, that's part of the reason why I still, you know, have Twitter. I think Twitter out of the core three is less, you know, about, I don't know, you know, getting the right photos or, you know, saying the right things, you know. Twitter has its downfalls too, but it is a place where you can get news pretty fast. You can, you know, kind of connect with a fairly like-minded community, and it's not all about, you know, the superficiality aspect. Like I've kind of mentioned, I like to think I'm kind of a private person, and I've never really been into that, like, that selfie type culture, and I was never really all that high into Facebook. Kind of active in college, but everyone's active in college. But after that, I really found myself not really being on that so much. But, you know, I really kind of started to dislike some of the time I was spending on Instagram, you know, seeing a lot of the same things and, you know, people trying to get those right captions and those right photos. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I've been there before where, you know, you post something and it's like, wow, you know, I kind of expected this to get, you know, a little more likes. But, you know, when I started thinking like that, I'm like, listen to yourself, Mark. This stuff doesn't even matter. You know, if you're going to think like that, you know, it's probably best to just, you know, delete that stuff. And I ended up deleting it. And I really haven't looked back since. So it works for me, you know, for other people, they might need it. But for me, I'm just totally fine with, you know, what I've got and Twitter and kind of managing my websites. And I like to think, you know, I like to let my work speak for itself.
Sure. Yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing too. Like, I'm only posting things on Cinema Recall when it comes to promoting episodes of the show. All right, I'm not posting you my daily food log or everything like that. Like, here's a new episode. Go to thatmomentin.com, or here's a new article. Check this out. And I'm just doing that, just promoting more of like work that I've done than personal things about myself. All right. I can post personal things about myself, about going to a movie, if it has something to do with the actual site and talking about movies.
Oh, yeah. Something on there. And like I said, you know, I think Twitter is a little different than the other two, you know, sites. You know, you can really get into sometimes in-depth conversations with other, you know, like-minded people without, you know, it coming off as, you know, superficial or, you know, sometimes like overly pompous or anything. So I do think, you know, at least in my opinion, I like Twitter from that aspect a lot more than the other two sites. But again, just speaking for myself, I generally like Twitter. You know, there's less of an impact on, you know, things needing to be, you know, visual and really eye-catching, you know, so I like that aspect a lot more.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, that's going to end our conversations about Ingrid Goes West. Both me and Mark really like this movie. I know it's playing for free on Hulu, so if you have Hulu, you can definitely go watch it there. Otherwise, you can most likely stream it on other platforms that are around, but highly suggest checking it out if you can. We are going to move now on to Assassination Nation. But here is a small trailer.
I read this quote from this writer whose name I forget, but it said something like, 10% of the population is cruel, and 10% is merciful. and the other 80% can be swayed in either direction. I'm also pretty sure that that writer has never seen a World Star fight vid, or 4chan, or Twitter.
Slay him alive.
We got some Salem bitches on the motherfucking run!
Because at the end of the day, nothing unites us like a good tragedy.
We're good people!
All right, so you just heard a small trailer for Assassination Nation, and I'm going to do my best to not go... I mean, it's going to be hard to not go into spoilers with this feature.
Sure.
But I'm just going to basically just tell you the basic plot of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in the town of Salem, there are these four girls, and one day... a mayor's account gets hacked, and it turns out that this mayor, who was against gay rights and everything, is being he gets exposed as being gay, and you know actually having transgender love affairs, and the whole town just in a uproar about him. And then later on, the principal gets hacked. And they all think that he's a pedophile because he has pictures of his daughter in a bathtub. And then everyone's account gets hacked, and these four girls get blamed for it, and the whole town becomes violent towards them. And that's all I'm really going to say. That's a basic plot description of the movie. I want to hear your general thoughts about
that. Okay. I'll do my best. I do remember when we were... Myself and John were just kind of getting started on Cinema Recap, and you were, you know, in the early days, you were on, and you would join us every now and then.
Yeah.
You loved this movie, and I think it was maybe your number one movie of 2018, if I remember correctly.
You are a good man. It definitely was my number one movie, yes.
Yes. So it's not – I don't have this movie in as high regard as you do, but there are some things I definitely like about it. I do think – it is kind of all over the place. I don't know if it doesn't necessarily know, you know, what it really, you know, truly wants to be. But there's a lot of style to this movie. And I do think that, you know, the core message about social media and ultimately I think it's another movie that takes a sort of, you know, pessimistic message on it as opposed to a, you know, optimistic message. I do think it absolutely nails that piece too. So I think I like it more from a stylish piece and just more of like, you know, certain scenes, certain like aspects of the movie as opposed to it as a whole. I don't hate the movie and I still think I would probably recommend it to someone, but it is very much, you know, a movie where some people might, you know, for stretches be like, what am I watching here? And I'll be honest, I did have that approach from time to time, but there are some things I really did like about the movie.
I hear what you're saying there. And I do think that this movie has really good, I guess, how am I saying this right here? For me, what I love best about this feature is kind of like the insights when it comes to what people think how girls should behave.
Absolutely.
And I think that was really just right there, and I do agree that some of the messages are over the place. Like, great sequence, and I'm going to one of my favorite moments right now.
Let's do it.
Right? I do this when I'm trying to look at my name right now. So Lily, she's the main character played by Odessa Young. She's at the dinner table, and this happens right after the principal's internet account has been hacked, and people are seeing the pictures of his young daughter in the bathtub, and they're claiming him to be a pedophile. And she makes a good observation that nudity is not overly sexual. You are making it sexual.
Sure.
And her parents are attacking her and saying, well, I'm not going to have you defend this pedophile. And she's like, well, Mom, there's a naked picture of me up on the mantle. Is that child pornography? I don't think so. So I do think that her and the other four characters, they are ones that have just been throughout the years been told to act one way, be this way, you know, you gotta be sweet and innocent, or you gotta be, you know, sexy and alluring to catch the man.
Yeah.
I do understand what you're saying too, how that there's certain things that are all over the place with the feature, but just kind of the general main theme. This for me feels like the Me Too movement with Uzi machine guns.
Yeah. And I love, and I think that's a good point for sure.
And I kind of love it for that right there. I mean, you actually have the character that Joel McHale plays, and he's this kind of warm, you know, loving husband, and he wants to have, like, these fantasies about this younger teenager, and when he's exposed as being that guy, you know, suddenly he's the villain, and so he's got to go ahead and attack her and blame her for dressing this way or seducing him when it actually was him all along, because he tells us a story, I think it is to Betts, played by Harry Neff, about how she was driving home with him after babysitting his kid, and that he actually was listening to her, and he put his hand on her thigh, and it just evoked these feelings because no other boy has ever done that before. I do like the fact, and I'm kind of going all over the place with this movie because I feel like the movie kind of goes a little bit over the place as well. But I like the fact that it starts off with, like, trigger warnings. Like, these are going to be the things that are going to be discussing this, and they may or may not offend you, but we're just going to go out with this. I think it's kind of a brave movie for a studio to release, especially, you know, with all the types of violent activities that have been happening around, you know, schools and everything, and showing these young girls with these guns and them standing up for themselves. I think it's a very much a pro-feminist movie.
It is. I think so, at least, yeah.
Yeah, and also, to me, it kind of feels like it's a movie that really attacks, like, older generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, maybe I have a feeling that, and I'm not trying to divide people politically, but I feel like this is a movie that was made kind of like an attack against the whole Trump administration.
Yeah. I think there's definitely some things you can, you know, suggest that it does on that front. I think I definitely side more with this, you know, being, I think, a feminist-type movie. It's very much, you know, females, let's, you know, take, at least in my opinion, again, I can't speak for, you know, females, I'm not one, but I do think, you know, it's kind of like, you know, let's take control of our own fates, you know, or our own destinies. My favorite moment, I think you kind of alluded to it, and I'm kind of have the beauty of the internet and doing this, you know, over Skype, is I can pull up your review and kind of look at some of the stuff you did, but I think you kind of hit it right near the end of the movie where, you know, or right near the end of the post where Lily is, she has that monologue, you know, during the party where, you know, she talks about how women are supposed to behave, you know, what we're supposed to post, you know, how we're supposed to get people interested in us. And, you know, if we don't get people interested, then this is what we need to do. Or if I'm not acting this way, then I'm disappointing someone. And if I'm disappointing someone, then, you know, I'm disappointing this and this. And I'm probably butchering some of the monologue, but I do think it was my favorite moment of the movie. It's a very strong directed moment. It's got, like, a lot of things happening, you know, splices here and, you know, kind of expanding windows here and there and stuff. So that's my favorite moment of the movie.
Yeah, because in that sequence, she talks about her boyfriend Mark, and do you know who her boyfriend Mark is?
You can clue me in on that.
Okay, have you seen the movie It?
Oh, yeah, Bill Skarsgård, yeah.
That's Pennywise.
That's right, yep.
And I just had no idea that's the same actor from It playing her boyfriend. I thought that was kind of a cool thing. But yeah, in her monologue, she states that Mark was the first person that ever told her that she was beautiful and that, you know, he loved her. And it's kind of juxtaposed with the scene of him yelling at her for the way that she was acting or behaving, and that's kind of a weird thing too, because the way she was acting and behaving is what attracted him to her in the first place.
Right.
And now he's upset that she's doing this again. And then you also have the scene with Betts and I guess Diamond, played by Danny Ramirez. Now, we didn't mention this before, but Betts is transgender.
Yeah, I mean, actually, everyone, yeah, transgender,
yep. Yeah, you know, everyone, you know, accepts that portion of her, and, you know, she meets this guy that doesn't really seem to mind that she's transgender until, like, the very end of their, like, moment together when he says, you know, don't tell anyone about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's feeling that, yeah, she got together with this guy that she likes, but can't tell anyone about it. And yeah, that scene with happens with Lily's character and her boyfriend Mark, and it's all about how women have been told these lines by guys and how they can not mean what they mean, if that made sense, what I'm trying to say. Like, it seems like for me that Mark told her all these lines in the past. Mark told Lily all these lines in the past about how beautiful she is, yep, and special she is, when he just really kind of wanted to get her pants. And now that he's dating her, he doesn't want her to be the same person that she was.
Right. It's like, I, you know, you get, you know, titillated and you get attracted to, you know, quote unquote, you know, a slut. But when you're actually, you know, dating her or, you know, being seen with her, you don't want what you got attracted to. You don't want the entire world, you know, seeing what you got attracted to, because you feel like only I should own this, or, you know, I should control this. So,
yep.
That's just whole entire monologue, that whole entire sequence is probably my favorite moment of the movie. Another moment of the movie that's my favorite, but it doesn't really necessarily connect with the social media aspect. It's just like the home invasion. I think that's a well-made part of the movie, but yeah.
That is a brilliant moment to bring up there. I like the fact, too, that it's all kind of shot outside of the house.
Yep. Very
good. And the camera moves in through the windows and bats off, and you don't see the intruders there until the camera pans back, and then you see them there. Oh, yeah, I think that moment is brilliant. I gotta say that this was directed by Sam Levinson,
mm-hmm,
who is Barry Levinson's kid. And for this being his first feature, I was really impressed. I'm always impressed with guys.
He had a lot of style in this movie, that's for sure. You know.
So I'm like kind of excited to see what he does next with he also wrote the screenplay for this one too. So yeah, I'm definitely curious. And for all the first-time actors, I know that a lot of these actors have probably appeared on other television shows, but I don't really follow Disney Channel or ABC. I've looked up some of these, and I know that Suki
Waterhouse. Yeah, I think she dates or has dated Bradley Cooper.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, I know she's in Surgeons. Okay, all right. But yeah, the lead actress here, Odessa Young, I thought she was really good in this. Probably one of my favorite roles in this movie, and also the character that Hari Neff played with Betts. Those mm-hmm. would probably be like my two favorite characters. It is kind of cool to see Joel McHale, who I've seen in Community,
sure,
and doing his stand-up on Netflix as Joel McHale, playing a very kind of a sinister character in this. And I've never seen that done before with him, so I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure I do not like the movie as much as you. I'd say maybe the last 20, 30 minutes, while they look really, really cool, it takes a huge jump to, you know, see these girls kind of just, you know, defend themselves, and they do a really good job at it, but there's no inclination like, you know, they can just immediately go to handling AR-15s, you know, at the end of the movie. I think that's kind of a curious jump, in my opinion. It looks cool, and it has some cool moments, but it's just like these people come action stars in, like, you know, in the span of 5 minutes.
I don't think the movie was meant to be taken too seriously. It does have a lot of serious themes in there, but there's a moment when they are watching this Japanese exploitation film in their room, and I think one of them mentions the fact that if they were in a movie, they would do things differently. Like, they would have, like, a male rape revenge movie, like, instead of having Susanna George in the movie Straw Dogs get raped, it would be Dustin Hoffman.
Right.
And so they do make, I guess, mentions to the feature that, you know, what would happen if we were in a movie. Like, this is not a movie, this is real life that we are in, and yet they're still fictional characters in a movie. I didn't mind the fact so much that they did get the guns and started fighting back. I kind of wanted there to be more of that in the end.
Like, yeah, I do think it's kind of the actual, I guess, end. It didn't feel like, it felt like it built a whole bunch to, you know, their release, and they're just going to, you know, rain hell on everyone. But in essence, it feels like it's only 5 or 7 minutes. I did feel like it wasn't a really... The actual climax didn't feel long enough to me, you know, so yeah. I'm with you there on that front, too.
Yeah, but I just liked all the different types of messages that this movie has, especially be about what has to do with, like, social media and how we can evoke our, like, our private life and the hypocrisy of our private life. And you have, like, these certain things that you look for, and you attack someone else for what they like, but then when it comes exposed that you like the stuff, I'm not really saying this right here. Okay, so no, I'm trying my best to explain this. So in the future, a lot of the adults are mad in this movie because their accounts get hacked and all their secrets are exposed. So I'm sure it's probably like a lot of, like, porn history, or, you know, things that are taboo that probably, you know, they would be down upon if people found out about the stuff there.
Sure.
And I'm thinking that, well, everyone has kind of a little bit of a dark side to them anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that your internet history really means that you're a bad person. Like, the principal who, you know, discovered that, you know, he likes a certain type of porn, and they see the picture of his kid in the bathtub, so they take his porn history, and they see the picture of his kid in the bathtub, and they automatically think that, well, this guy is a pedophile because he watches this porn about young girls, and then he has a picture of his daughter in a bathtub, but they're two separate things, and it has nothing to do with his work as being a school teacher.
Yeah.
And that can maybe have something to do with when a celebrity scandal happens.
Sure.
You know, like, people are always saying that, well, this person got exposed for this, so that means he's a horrible person to make movies or be in movies, and it has a long conversation. And I'm not trying to say that you don't have to like the person, but I feel like there's many different threads, all right, to having a person be good at their good at his or her job. And I think the movie just a movie I don't think the movie is too preachy in a way. I know some people may say that it is, but it just kind of gives you that thoughts and makes you think a little bit, like, okay, well, yes, this person has, you know, porn history that I don't agree with, but has he done anything to the students at the school? No, he hasn't. Okay. And I just liked that type of message, and also the message about, like we mentioned before, on how girls are supposed to act and behave. I think that they are also influenced by social media because they want to become, like, popular or feel attractive,
right,
and important, special. There is a moment when Lily is talking with the she is actually talking with the principal about her drawings in art class, and she's making this erotic art, and she's making a statement about how there had been a whole bunch of, like, selfie nudes that happened before that picture that took, which really kind of took me out. That's, like, one moment I really didn't like too much with her. Like, I agree with mostly every one of her statements, but I didn't agree with that one, but I agree with their point in making that statement, if that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So And I just mainly I just like this movie because I always like watching movies where a bunch of girls get a bunch of guns and want to take down the hierarchy. All right, yeah, like men, like the whole like men telling women how they should behave and that they're gonna be basically killing these women for no other reason but exposing their hypocrisy. Then yeah, I'm like, all right, yeah, get your gun. If you're gonna kill them, yeah, grab your guns, grab your girls. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, I think you know summed up a lot of the movie a lot better than I could for sure. I guess the only other piece that I kind of like is the ending. You know, I do think a lot of movie has meaning. Sometimes you know it gets lost in my opinion in certain ways, or it doesn't clearly define or kind of summate those meanings. But I do think they're there. But I also find it kind of interesting right at the end where, you know, we do kind of find who was the source of all these leaks. And, you know, it very much happens very much in the home. You know, I always say, like, these type of things are, you know, connected by 1 or 2 degrees. And there really is no separation in this case with the person who did the leaks. And it has that line at the end where, you know, it's like, well, why did you do this? Oh, why? I did it for the lulz. And then the movie just ends, you know. Some people I know kind of hate that ending, but to me, I think it kind of makes a lot of sense for the day and age that we live in. A lot of times, people don't do things for any particular reason. I think they do it just because they feel it's going to be funny. And, you know, even if it's going to take down so many people's lives and, you know, forever tarnish their legacies or whatever, if it gets a couple laughs, if it gets a couple retweets, if it, you know, gets talked about on the evening news or, you know, whatever news source you read, then their goal is achieved. And I think that movie kind of brought that up right at the end. And I thought it was a pretty cool way to end the movie.
Yeah. Well, all right. So here's an example. All right. So a while back, I took a video of a lady having basically kind of a nervous breakdown. And it was at the bus. And she actually went up to the bus and actually broke the bus windshield with her hand because her boyfriend was on the bus and he would not leave. And I posted it online and it got like over like 2,000 hits. And I got like a whole bunch of messages on the whole thing. It didn't quite go viral, but it was like that was like the biggest views I ever gotten on a video before. And it was just really fascinating, the fact that this woman is having like this nervous breakdown and sure, everyone is like laughing about it and everything. And I just felt kind of like, when I first saw the video, yes, I was kind of laughing about it, mainly because I was frustrated because I wanted to get to work and this lady was stopping the traffic for about a good like 30 minutes before she did break the windshield and run off. And the fact that that video got like a whole bunch of like hits, yeah, I kind of did it for the lulz, and I just felt bad about myself for doing that. But yet, there's also this part about me too, who's like thinking, "Oh, wow, this video got a lot of hits." I even got contacted by a news organization about possibly buying the rights to the video to use it, so I would be getting paid for that. But I would be getting paid for someone else's misery, and I just couldn't really feel right about myself for doing that, so I declined their offer.
Right.
And I think that what one of the characters does in this kind of matches my own personal view about that, because we all, most of us, want to have that become viral and become a big, huge sensation. That's why every girl in this feature, they're constantly posting things on their page and they're constantly sending things out because they do want to be noticed. But also, they live in this age right now where privacy is not that big of a thing. It happened ever since they started putting cameras everywhere in the cities. Like, it seems that privacy is no longer an issue. And a lot of kids now who are growing up, they don't really think of anything as being private anymore. Like, everything is basically going to be, you know, sold out there, or, you know, retweeted or shared this, or anytime I post something online, it's going to be shown everywhere. They're going to see my face. And now with like face swapping, you can basically put my face on someone else's body and have me do horrible things. So yeah, the movie kind of like exposes some of that as well. I do agree with you that sometimes it can become a bit over the place. I think that after the girls do get their guns and really start setting up for themselves, I mean, there's that great sequence when, you know, like, they are walking and Lily is telling them, like, hey, look, I just got here. You know, you wanted this America the way you've told us through years to act and behave. This is what you get, all right? We're going to expose your hypocrisy. If you want to kill us for it, then we're here to fight. And it would have been nice to see maybe a second movie, but I don't think they really could have added anything to the second movie. Yeah. I do like the parade that kind of happens at the end. And I think the cover... Oh, gosh, what's her name here? Who played Hannah Montana? Miley Cyrus. They played a Miley Cyrus song with a band, which I thought was really kind of cool, all the destruction and everything. And it does, you know, evoke that the girls most likely did win, or it could have been just a fantasy dream sequence. We really don't know. And I like the fact that maybe the movie's just trying to say, look, ladies, young people, you know, don't take any shit. Make your own future. And when you look at a lot of the political landscape now, there's a lot more women running for office.
Sure.
Than there has been in the past. So if anything, if this movie can, you know, tell young women to, you know, stand up for themselves and be stronger human beings, then I'm, for one, all for that. And I just, that's what I generally like about the movie. And I know I went on a long tangent there, and I apologize, Mark.
That's okay. It just reaffirms, I think, how passionate and how much you like the movie.
Yes, all right. but yes, as Mark says, you can read my review over on thatmomentin.com. As you mentioned, yes, it is probably was my favorite movie of 2018. But any more thoughts about Assassination Nation?
I don't think so. You know, it might be one of those movies where I do revisit, you know, at a later date, and I might find that I like it more than how I do right now. So, no, I think you hit on the bulk of it, and I do think it's got a really strong message about social media, which is the theme that we took for this pod.
Yeah. Definitely. And we're not trying to say that social media is bad,
right?
But it can be used for good and for bad. And I think we made several examples about how it can be used for that. And as I mentioned before, with the lady breaking the windshield, and that getting the most views, which I find to be very fascinating. It seems to be that way a lot of times, too. Every time there's like a fight happening, that seems to get like the most hits.
You but always hear the famous world star whenever a fight goes down. Yeah.
And but someone trying to actually make a movie or a narrative feature with using real life practical effects doesn't get much views. So I was really kind of surprised about that. Mark, before we do go to your buddy, anything you want to plug on either one of your sites, any reviews you want to mention?
I will definitely almost certainly have a post ready for John Wick. It's kind of like a hybrid of, you know, That Moment In. That's a common feature that we have on the site, thatmoment.com, and maybe something that could pick up some traction at some point too. But I my next post on the site will be about John Wick, and, you know, kind of one of the moments that I feel does very, very well to kind of set up the rest of the franchise. So that's what you guys can look forward to.
Nice. Well, for me, over on the site, thatmomentin.com, I just posted my review of a movie called Camino. And it was co-written and directed by Justin Herron, who is part of the podcast Casual Cinecast Podcast. He was on a earlier episode talking about the film Moonrise Kingdom. Well, he wrote and directed a really fun dark comedy called Camino. This has like the best elements of Tarantino meets Kevin Smith. And that's the best way I can describe the film. It's about these two slackers who steal coolers, and in one of the coolers they find human kidneys, and these hitmen are on their way to chase after them, along with cops who think that they're the hitmen as well. Yeah, it's a really fun movie. And then over on my site, the Ferns Video Vortex, I watched a movie called Small Town Hero. This one was suggested to me by another podcaster and writer. He writes reviews for Blueprint Review, and he does a podcast on there. But David Bourke is the editor of this movie called Small Town Hero, and it's about set in an England town. This local guy stops a pair of criminals from breaking a window, and this documentary crew comes in to film him and his actions, and he goes from being like this hero who wants to stop crime to a guy that wants to start to control people and how they behave. And it's a really good character study, really excellent film. It kind of reminded me of Taxi Driver, and also a little bit of Man by Star.
Huh.
Maybe it was those features. But yeah, I would really highly recommend it. I think Simon Cassidy plays the lead role of Pep. And I think the movie's only like a quick 90 minutes. I know it's on like iTunes. I think it's on Amazon. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, I was really just in love with this. In fact, there is a review on thatmomentin.com from David Dupre, our site owner, and it's we both have high praise for that movie.
Interesting. All right.
But other than that, there's not going to be an episode of Cinema Recap this week, but Cinema Recap will be back for sure next week. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. And we were just joking before the podcast, but I feel like all of us have been pretty busy, this May. But we do plan on doing an episode either next Sunday or next Monday, and we'll almost certainly, John and I, be going into the new John Wick Parabellum movie.
All right, very cool. And as for us, I'm in the process of moving.
Yeah.
I haven't found right now. I had one house secure for sure, but then that got canceled. So now I'm in the house searching process all over again. So everything's still kind of botched up a little bit. I still have like my laptop and my TV. That's basically all I have right now. Cinema Recall will be back with another episode later on in May. Most likely be a Terror Tuesday episode, but if not, it'll be another full episode. Hopefully happening in June. But you can always follow either show, Cinema Recap or Cinema Recall, on the site thatmomentin.com. We're on like Stitcher, Podomatic, iTunes, Player FM. Just search That Moment In. Mark, where can people find you online?
Definitely on thatmomentin.com. Right. My own website, moviemanjackson.com. And I got two Twitter handles, one at MovieManJackson, and the other one at MarkJacksonism. It's a little more of me on a personal side. Still has a lot of movies in my handle there. But if anyone wants to follow me on social media after getting into this pod on social media, that's where you can find me.
Cinema Recall, we can find us here on Twitter. We are at @Cinema_Recall. Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall, and we do have an Instagram account. Just search Cinema Recall on there. I don't post things too often, but yeah, definitely check that out. Really appreciate it. And Mark, big thank you for being on the show. Hopefully you'll be back again, or hopefully I'll be back on Cinema Recap one of these days.
Absolutely, yeah, we'll definitely make sure it happens as we get deeper into the summer.
All right, sounds good, bud. All right, well, take care, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Take care, guys.